Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can find rest in you no matter what's going on. Lord, help us to always remember, Lord, be still and know that you are God. As it says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that you are God. Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we can rest in your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that your word would flow, Lord. Only your word. These people don't want to hear my words, Lord. They want to hear your words. Lord, just bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, are we having fun yet? It's been an interesting year, hasn't it? Seems like I'm saying that every Sunday, because every Sunday there's something new that's going on. Wow. What's next? Everybody ready for 2020 to be canceled? But what if 2020 isn't canceled? What if 2020 is the year we've been waiting for? A year so uncomfortable, so painful, so scary, so raw, that it finally forces us to grow. A year that screams so loud, finally awakening us from our ignorant slumber. A year we finally accept the need for change. Declare change. Work for change. Become the change. A year we finally band together instead of pushing each other apart. 2020 isn't canceled, but rather the most important year of them all. I got that off the internet the other day, and I thought I'd share it. Does God want us to be comfortable? We fall asleep when we get too comfortable. I know a lot of people out here get comfortable and they fall asleep. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And God knows what he's doing. We have to believe that, don't we? We have to trust that. No matter what's going on, he's there. This morning I'm going to be talking out of Isaiah 65. You probably figured that out with our opening scripture, although sometimes I do fool you, don't I? The truth, the I will, and the amen. I'm going to read a little more than I was going to. I'm going to start in verse 11 in Isaiah 65. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, and prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Troop and number are both Canaanite deities they're talking about. God is talking about their idolatry. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, and ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. He's talking about two groups of people here, isn't he? He's talking about those that are his believers, and he's talking about those that aren't. Then he has a message for those that are his believers. It's in verse 16. that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. He goes on to say that he creates new heavens and new earths. He creates things that are new. He created things that are new in us. A new creation. We're not the same as we were when we were idolaters, or when we were doing things we wanted to do instead of the things that God wanted us to do. I'm going to cover a couple things in this verse to get them out of the way before I get to the heart of the verse. First of all, the context. We already saw the context, so I already covered that. But he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. I see us in there, but I see us before and also after. Before, we blessed ourselves in the earth, in the world, the things of the world, but after, we bless ourselves in God. We swore by the things of the earth, but now we swear by the things of God. Blessing oneself in doesn't mean to bless ourselves. It means to receive blessing from. And where does blessing come from? All blessing comes from God, doesn't it? Psalm 72:17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall judge him blessed. Jeremiah 4:2, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him. And in him shall they glory. You know, it doesn't always seem like we're being blessed, does it? And yet, God wants us to grow. So he sends difficulties sometimes, or he allows difficulties in our lives. It says, he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Are we supposed to swear oaths? Be careful. Jesus said not to. But Jesus, I believe, was talking about just randomly just throwing an oath out there. Because I believe that we're supposed to swear oaths when it's required. Like if we're called to testify in court, to swear an oath. How do I know that, or why do I believe that? Because Jesus swore an oath. Caiaphas said, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us the truth. Who are you? And Jesus did, because he had to. He was required to swear that oath. Does God swear oaths? Blessing, I will bless you. Cursing, I will curse you. Or blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. He said that to Abraham. That's an oath. That's a promise. See, we're supposed to take it seriously. It's not supposed to be vain. It's not supposed to be empty and meaningless. It's supposed to mean something. And I believe that that's what Jesus was against, was people that just threw it out there anytime they wanted to. I swear to God. I swear to God. Have you ever heard anybody say that all the time? Makes you wonder if they really mean it, doesn't it? It has to be something significant. It has to be something important. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. The God of truth. What does that name mean? Pilate had Jesus standing before him. And yet he said, what is truth? It was right there. All he had to do was open his eyes. What is truth? John 17:17, Jesus is praying. He's talking to the Father, and he says, thy word is truth. Everything that comes out of God's mouth is true. But yet there's also another meaning in there, if you take a close look at it. Says, thy word is truth. Who is the word? Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is truth. So that means just as the Father is true, Jesus is true. Because God is truth. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way, the only way to heaven. He's the life. He's the abundant life here on earth, and He's everlasting life when this is all over. But it also says He's the truth. Everything that's true. But it actually means more than that, our verse. Truth in our verse is Strong's number 548, and as far as I can tell, I've looked, it's the only place that rendering of the word truth is found. It's a Hebrew word, amana, which is a feminine form of number 543, which is amen. The corresponding word in the New Testament, the Greek, is 281. It means verily or amen. The word, Jesus Christ, became flesh, and He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Assuredly, I say unto you. Of a certainty, I said unto you. Of a truth, I say unto you. Amen, I say unto you, is what He's saying. The word amen is used at the end of a prayer, a praise, or a statement to confirm it or to show agreement with it. We heard some amens during our worship, and they were deserved. Because amen is something you say when something is presented to you that has a ring of truth to it, more than a ring of truth. It has a resounding note, a definite. It pulls at you, and it brings that word out of you. Amen. Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it was said of Him, He spoke with authority. Of course He did. Because He's the God of truth. He's the God of the Amen. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The Amen. What does Amen mean? Two meanings. It means, I tell you it is so. And it also means, so may it be, or so we believe it is. Amen relates to both His amen and ours. His truth is His amen. Us believing it is ours. From God's point of view, amen says, my word is truth. And quite often it says, I will. From our point of view, amen says, I believe it. Make it so. Amen also means, as I mentioned, I will. How many times does God say in the Bible, I will? That's the whole Bible, isn't it? I'm going to give you a couple examples. One is in Psalms 91:14-16. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. John chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus says, I will come again and receive you. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. That's verse 13. Verse 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He repeats himself, doesn't he? That's always important. Is he going to give us anything we ask for? according to his will. You got to read every time it says something. You got to read and make sure there isn't a condition or there isn't a limitation to it. I will ask, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We don't realize when we're standing before the Father in his name, it's like it's him standing there asking it. Is the Father going to deny the Son anything? Not if it's according to the Father's will. We have to take that approach when we're asking, when we pray. We have to believe that he's going to do it when we ask it. That's the amen. Amen. I'm in agreement. I know it's going to be. Jesus also said in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father and he shall send you another comforter. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Verse 18 again, I will come to you. Verse 21, I will love you. Verse 21 again, I will manifest myself to you. And you can go all through the Bible and you can see those I wills all over the place. I will. Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3, a leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, if it's your will, you can cleanse me. And what was Jesus' response? I will. We were lost in our sins, and we asked the Lord to save us, to forgive us. What was his response to us? I will. A lot of promises in the Bible. How can we know he'll keep his word? John 13:37 proves to us that he keeps his word. He said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Did that happen? Yes, it did. Now that should really take any doubt away from us, shouldn't it? He was willing to die on the cross for us. He said he would, and he did. So if he says he's going to take care of you, he's going to provide for your needs, he's going to do it. If he says he's going to heal you, he's going to do it. So what does this mean to us? In 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20, Paul used Jesus as an example. As a pattern. He said, as Jesus was, so I will be. I'm going to read the passage. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. The God of the Amen should be our pattern too. You know, when I was driving a truck, a lot of truck drivers had a GPS. I didn't trust them, so I didn't have one. I had something else. I had maps. I love maps. Maps are a representation of what it's showing there, isn't it? Oh, it's maybe a quarter inch is 100 miles. But yet, it's there. It's a pattern. It's accurate. It's the scale. It's constant. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the pattern. People see us, our lives, and they're supposed to see Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be the pattern. We should try to live our lives in a way that says amen to the way he lived his. Agreement. What's better agreement than doing what he did or living the way he lived? So not only do we have to believe him, we have to follow his example. we as his children should want to be like him, shouldn't we? Amen is a statement of faith, isn't it? We have his promise. He says it's going to be. And then we say amen, believing it's going to be. I'm going to ask our brother Wayne to come forward because I want to pray for him. I don't see Jerry. I'd like to pray for him too, but okay. Yeah, I don't know if he can come over. Maybe if there's a chair here. You know, as we get older, we get health issues. Has anybody noticed that? Yeah, try not to. But even though we have health issues, we have a God that we can come to and we can ask prayer. Lord God, we lift Jerry up to you. Lord, cancer is no problem for you, Lord. You're bigger than that. You are the God of amen. You are the God that does the things that we ask when it's in your will, Lord. We just pray for healing. Complete healing and restoration. Just remake his body and just conform it to your word and according to your will, Lord. Bring healing, bring comfort, bring relief. And Lord, I want to pray for Wayne. It says in Ezekiel that you give people new hearts. And we're standing on that, Lord. Because Wayne needs a new heart. He's used his heart so much. So much love is poured out of him. He needs a new one, Lord, to continue your work. Bring healing, Lord. Bring healing to Wayne. Bring healing to Jerry. Bring healing, Lord. And Lord, I pray for anyone else in this room, Lord, that's experiencing illness or disease or any physical problems, Lord. I just pray that you just bring healing. We're calling upon the God of the Amen. The God of I will. Bring healing, Lord, to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Jerry. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. We just pray, Lord, that you just implant your word in our hearts. Help us to maintain it. Help us to retain it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you. Go with us today as we go about our day and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.